Good evening. Welcome to April's edition of Down the Nail Backwards. Unfortunately, we have suffered some technical difficulties this evening, so this will seem a little disjointed because we are about to drop into Sarah as she did her presentation for the first intro. But I'll do my little bit first, just to say that we've fed our minds this month with high culture and we've basked in the joys of spring as we get ready for the second four-day weekend in a row, thanks to the imminent royal wedding of Kate and Will. Also, we'll be celebrating Beltane, the pagan festival. Music tonight will be from Adam and Rich, two local boys who've come down and given us their first live set anywhere. But get ready for it, because Sarah's about to kick in as the recording went live. Over to Sarah.
Sounds right. Pretty good.
Great concept. It's like
is that the one where the aliens land in, not the council estate?
No, that's Attack the Block. That's Joe Cornish. It's actually another recommendation.
Yeah, I've heard sort of stuff and it sounds good.
Yeah, Attack the Block's meant to be fodder to go on Saturday night.
Okay. But there's somebody at the door, so I'm going to go retrieve them.
There's somebody at the door. But so Cowboys and Aliens is Harrison Ford and Daniel Craig fighting aliens in the Old West.
Oh, wow.
So with their Smith & Wessons, I believe, Sarah.
Shout out to the Wesson clan.
But so pretty much it's high concept, but it's done by Jon Favreau, who can handle this stuff. He's done sort of things like Iron Man, which... I like the first one, actually, to be fair, guilty pleasure. Not so much the second one, because I think it's a bit... But, good fun, solid film. And, one to check out. So, how's this cooking going?
I think we've still got a bit more time to let it stand. So I wanted to just say a little bit more about this Nancy Sparrow exhibition. That's on at the Serpentine Gallery. Again, this is a bit of a last chance to see, as it's only running till the 2nd of May, which I believe is, where are we now? 29th tomorrow?
Yeah, about that.
So about Monday, 29th? Sorry, the 2nd of May. Anyway, excellent exhibition from American artist Nancy Sparrow. One of the things that I thought it was relevant to Beltane is, as you go into the exhibition, the first room you come to is a giant maypole set up with sort of cardboard severed heads and things cut out on it, and sort of cutouts of the fertility goddess Shinanigig, based on sort of ancient cave paintings. It's actually quite amazing sort of installation to see. The rest of her work relies on a lot of collages and cutouts, using a lot of sort of cutout of typewriter text pieces and a lot of Artaud quotes, actually, from Antonin Artaud, and dealing with sort of themes of women's struggle from the point of view of political prisoners across the world. And there's some quite emotionally moving stories there, all presented in these sort of big pieces with writing scrawled over the top of each other and cutouts in French and English. Sorry, just to say goodbye to Adam and Rich, just leaving the studio. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you. We'll let you know if anyone suggests a name for you.
So...
a positive name.
Yeah, got until May the 2nd to go and see that anyway, and we have tweeted a link to that, so that's Nancy Sparrow at the Serpentine. And that's all from our sort of last chance to see panel, I think George has something to say.
Yep, Diggerland is actually open for April and May.
What is this Diggerland metropolis that you speak of?
Oh, Diggerland, Diggerland's in Rochester. There's some... dotted about the country, but you get to play with JCBs.
What?
That sounds like a hell of a lot of fun.
And they've got rides with JCBs.
Can you say two CBs?
And if you think it's for £100 and something quid, you can actually have someone teach you how to drive a JCB and build the bigger hole.
So
and stuff
a bit out of our arts for a tenner, right?
Yeah, a little bit, but But it's Diggers, come on.
Okay. I say it's heavy metal, I guess, and that sort of ties into the music sort of thing.
Yeah.
Big yellow machine, so you're going to get to see kind of digging up the roads, so you get to have a play with stuff.
This is fascinating to me, and people do this. Is this like, wow. And what, so anyone can get behind the wheel of a JCB and...
Yeah.
Wow. So I don't have a driving license, would that be a problem? Actually, I've been banned from driving because of my, you know...
I got caught
some Smokey the Bandit type antics, smuggling some moonshine. And,
They'll never let you drive again, Gaz.
So, anyway,
I'm until the end of next month.
To draw our recommendation scene to a close, I'd like to introduce anti-travelling OMG, Olivia McGilchrist, our roving reporter, who's... this interview came from Buenos Aires. She's now in Jamaica, so we've got more stuff coming up over the next few months. But this is with, I'm going to get it wrong, Mutango, Argentinian music producer / DJ / actually, I'm not sure, because this whole piece comes in the Spanish language. Our Spanish listeners out there, this one is for you. Thank you very much, Adam.
My fourth interview in Argentina. It's Olivia. I'm interviewing an artist called Mutango in Santa Fe, in the northwest of Buenos Aires. And I will do the interview in Spanish. Hola, Mutango.
Hola, Olivia.
¿De dónde eres? ¿Dónde vives? ¿Cómo te describes a ti mismo profesionalmente?
Muy bien. Soy de acá, de Santa Fe, Argentina.
Uh-huh. Sí.
También vivo acá, en esta ciudad. Y me defino como un músico de rock independiente y, ¿cómo se dice?, un guerrero de la autogestión.
Bueno, ¿qué tipo de música...? No, perdón. ¿De qué habla tu música y cómo te inspiras?
Mi música se genera a partir del sonido. Yo toco la guitarra.
Sí.
Y primero viene la música, después vienen las letras. Uh-huh. Entonces, las letras están relacionadas a lo que la música me hace sentir.
Uh-huh.
Entonces, finalmente hablan de sensaciones y de algún mensaje que yo pueda comunicar a través de mi música. Lo que la música me dice a mí, yo trato de transmitirlo hacia el público.
Bueno, perdón, tu grupo se llama...
Astrobonzo.
Bueno. ¿Qué tipo de música te interesó en un principio y cómo y dónde la descubriste?
Ah, en la televisión, una serie de dibujos animados de The Beatles, cartoons, interesante, no sé si lo has visto.
No.
Me llamó la atención cuando tenía 10 años, 11, y las guitarras y la onda y...
Bueno.
Y a partir de ahí, ¿no? Me la llevé a tocar la guitarra.
Okay. La guitarra
siempre la guitarra eléctrica.
Ok, bueno. ¿Cómo comenzaste a componer y cuál fue tu primer público?
Bueno, sí, para amigos, obviamente, ¿no? Reuniones de amigos, cumpleaños.
Sí.
Primero haciendo versiones de canciones que me gustaban y a partir de ahí empezando a hacer las primeras canciones propias, ¿no?
Uh-huh. Bueno. ¿Dónde tocan? ¿En Santa Fe y otras provincias? ¿Y dónde te gusta más tocar?
Sí, tocamos acá en esta ciudad de Santa Fe, en ciudades como Rosario, como Córdoba, y ciudades Paraná, Entre Ríos, y ciudades alrededor de Santa Fe, hasta, no sé, 300 kilómetros alrededor. En todos lados está bueno tocar. Lo que te decía hoy, hay lugares como Rosario, que son ciudades más grandes, que hay mucho más público, y más acostumbrado al rock y a los festivales, que está bueno tocar, y también está bueno el desafío de tocar en lugares chicos donde hay poca gente y que no sabe con qué se va a encontrar, entonces también tiene su buena onda.
Bueno, en el futuro posiblemente tocan en ciudades más grandes.
Sí, seguro, sí. Okay. Buenos Aires,
sí.
Montevideo.
Bueno, ¿cómo promoveres tu música y qué proyección piensas tener a tu grupo a nivel local, nacional e internacional?
Bueno, al ser un grupo de autogestión independientes, que se trabaja mediante los sitios web, como nuestro sitio web oficial, los MySpace, Facebook, y chat con otras bandas, haciendo intercambio, una banda de Rosario, ponele, viene para acá, nosotros vamos para allá. Y la idea es, bueno, recorrer así el país y bueno, donde haya un contacto, ir a tocar. Con la gente, encontrarse con gente y con bandas y hacer lazos, ¿no?
Sí, tú me explica la distribución de tu discos, tiene dos discos, sí. Astro Bronze, ¿sí?
Sí.
Dos discos en 3 años.
Sí.
Y es una producción totalmente independiente.
Ambas.
Y tu distribución es independiente.
También.
Y ¿puedo explicar el sistema en Argentina de distribución
independiente?
Sí,
sí, significa que la banda, el músico, mediante sus propios recursos económicos, se graba, se mezcla, se masteriza, edita un disco, las copias, y con eso después va a venderlos, deja en varios puntos, pueden ser disquerías, a donde venden discos, o donde venden ropa, cuestiones ligadas al rock, ¿no? Merchandising, ropa,
sí, sí.
Ahí está el disco en varias ciudades, ¿no?
Sí, y tú puedes vender tus discos a un precio más barato que un disco comercial.
Y claro, al ser la producción propia, vos manejás los costos, que son mucho más menos costosos que si fuese por la industria, ¿no?
Sí.
Por la demanda de industria.
Sí. Tiene
y también en los shows, eso también se venden en, después de los shows también se venden.
Sí, tiene una organización nacional de
sí, hay una federación que es todas las provincias argentinas, casi todas, la idea es que todas serían, ahora son 7, 8, están organizadas en la Federación Argentina de Músicos Independientes.
Bueno,
FAMI sería, ¿no?
¿Es solamente rock o...?
No, todo músico independiente.
Okay,
sí.
Bueno.
Más vale que son más las bandas de rock las que están, ¿no? Y en Santa Fe tenemos una que se llama Santa Fe Unida por el Rock. Que se llama, la sigla es Sur Rock. Y somos parte de esa, de Nacional, ¿no?
Bueno.
Está bueno para intercambiar recursos, forma de producir un disco, millones de cosas.
Ok. Para terminar, ¿podrías... ¿hay algo más que te gustaría decirme?
Bueno, no, está buena la experiencia de la nota para que en otros lados conozcan cómo trabajamos acá, los músicos, y de la misma forma tener un intercambio y saber cómo se trabaja en otro lado, para enriquecer el mundo de la música, ¿no?
Bueno, ¿podría decirme tu sitio web?
El sitio web es www.astrobonzo.com.ar.
¿Y tu MySpace?
Mi MySpace es myspace.com/astrobonzo.
Bueno, ok, muchas gracias, Matungo. Hopefully I will see you soon, maybe in Europe.
Oh,
maybe.
Ok.
Bueno,
gracias a vos.
No problem.
So, thank you very much, Olivia, aka Auntie Travelling OMG. So now we've got over to Sarah in the kitchen for our cooking feature. The oil is now being heated in a pan and she's about to drop the fairy cakes into the mix. So, what are you doing here, Sarah?
I'm going to get the oil nice and hot, first of all. So yeah, it should be hot, but not smoking. Smoking. I'm just giving it another whisk up the mixture. So what I need to find is some kind of ladle or something to drop the mix into the oil, yeah.
I mean, it's got the consistency of batter for pancakes.
Yeah, maybe a little bit thicker. Sort of like a runny cake mix, I guess. Although again, I'm not 100% confident that I've got the quantities right, so I think it should be more like a pancake mix if we're going to fry it. But still, I think this will make them nice and meaty, chewy sort of little cakes.
Clagginess, I guess, is the thing to go for.
Yeah.
Clagginess. When it sits at the top of your mouth, you know it's good. Comfort food.
So, I guess, well, seems hot. It's not smoking, so should we do a little test one?
I'll give it this. That is a cast iron pan that Sarah's using, which are perfect for sort of frying this sort of thing, because they do retain so much heat.
Sarah, come dine with me, expert speaking here. He knows his kitchen equipment. Okay, I think that oil maybe isn't hot enough yet.
Yeah, I'd say it's not.
So, well, that was a test one anyway, but I mean, what it should do is as soon as the batter hits the pan, you should see it starting to firm up a bit. Like a pancake, I suppose, you should see it cooking straight away. But then again, as I say, I've never made these before, so who can tell? I'm
going to
try and find a suitable spatula.
So I'm just going to get a photo of this. Actually, it's starting to bubble now.
So it is cooking. Always a mission when you're not cooking in your own kitchen to know where anything is.
What would Dexter do? You have to spatula by any chance.
Yeah, I think this will do. But again, we like to sort of do the survivor skills bit here, and we just make do with what we've got. So I'm sure they're going to be delicious.
Safety first, just turning the handle of the pan in.
In case there's any toddlers roaming about. Actually, while that's cooking, what I'm going to do is put a small bowl here, and I'm going to combine in that the honey. So we want 1 cup of honey. Which is going to be a bit of a mission, so I've got this squeezy type honey from Lidl, so I'm really using my muscles here to squeeze that out. In fact, if I can get the lid off, that might be a lot easier.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, there we go.
But what you gain in girth, you lose in squeeziness.
Yeah, and thicker spout always makes for a better spurt. And to that, I'm going to add the nutmeg as well in the bowl. So I might just need a fork and get that to mix that up.
I'll grab you a fork and having a look at the pan, that's coming along nicely.
Nice one. So once we fish that out, I'm going to dry it, get the oil off on some kitchen paper, or as we've got here again, sort of in the experimental style, a bunch of Cafe Nero napkins. That I'd managed to pilfer earlier.
Oh, nice. That's taken on a really nice colour.
Yeah. It actually looks quite tasty.
Wow.
It is like a sort of thick little pancake, really, isn't it? So to the honey, I'm going to add the nutmeg.
I'm just going to get another photo of this as it's cooking, actually. So, again, follow the Twitter, and you can see all of these photos as it comes.
The exciting cooking in motion, and after this we're going to have some kind of poetry in motion, Luda, I think. although I've just been informed that maybe not all our presenters have risen to the challenge this month.
I think one might come on the fly, actually.
Yeah, are we going to have a bit of improvised poetry?
Improvised poetry does seem to be the way.
To go with our improvised cooking, what can be better? So I think now the oil is really good and hot, like it's bubbling but it's still not smoking. So
that's
looks a lot more.
I don't know if you can hear this in Radio Land, it's certainly
can we get the mic a bit closer?
The mic can't stretch any closer, unfortunately.
We're as close as we can get. I'm gonna try and do 3 at a time this time.
Yeah, why not? You've got the space in the pan.
Yeah. So, there we go. These ones have actually got a lot more of a nice round shape to them, probably because the oil's hot enough now. As well, it is actually a lot nicer cooking with gas rather than my crappy electric stove at home.
Yeah, I would always recommend anyone who's, thinking about cooking to avoid electrics. Because you can't control the heat.
No control. There we go.
Wow. They look amazing.
So, pancakes a go. So this one that's done, I'm just going to put it in the honey. Just give it a quick was around in that. If you can find a plate.
I will find you a plate.
Can you grab a plate? I'm going to get these ones out of the pan. They're looking nice and golden now. I think they're done. Yeah, so those on the paper like that. Maybe give them a dab on the top. Just get it done. So if anyone's come over, if you fancy something sweet.
You're just dropping them as they are, letting them sort of... soak up on the kitchen towel stroke Cafe Nero napkins.
Just to get the oil off them.
And then dropping them straight into the mix of honey.
Yeah, with just the cinnamon. Coat them with the honey.
Then
I think we're good to go.
Wow, they're very much, I guess, they smell actually just like donuts. Like, I'm sure that you've... had donuts at some point at a fun fair or something along that those lines. Except these are the same consistency, fried sort of pastry type, batter. Except instead of being dropped in sugar, being dropped in this honey cinnamon concoction.
Nutmeg mix.
Yeah, sorry, nutmeg, of course.
The nutmeg should hopefully taste quite good with the cinnamon that's obviously in the flour and stuff. And this recipe, it's supposed to make 1.5 dozen. I'm not sure if we're going to actually cook them all because I'm sure our listeners are getting a little bit tired of the not much action. We're going to get on to the eating them quite soon.
I'd say, listeners, check out the Twitter so you can see these and how good they look.
Yeah, I think the oil's got a bit hot there. So these are cooking much quicker than they were at the start. So I'm going to get these three out and do one last batch, and then I think we're going to move on to have some poetry. Now, absent presenter Ellen, who's away in Dubai, has been very good to send us a poem that she's written, so I'll be reading that out on her behalf. As we mentioned earlier, our other usual presenter, Ryan, has a lot on his plate at the moment with the new arrival, Arthur. So he's not had a chance to do it. I'm not sure if our producer, Adam, maybe has an offering. So that's silence from the booth.
Silence from the booth there. Quite telling.
But were you saying you have maybe do an improv, Gaz?
Yeah. yeah, I believe so.
Again. In the spirit of tonight's quite experimental theme.
So,
anyone in the studio who fancies some fairy honey cakes, come and get them while they're hot. I'm just going to do these last three, and then maybe we can cook some a bit later if we get the munchies. Again, this batter will keep like pancake batter. If you don't use it all in one go, you can probably leave it overnight and it'll probably even be better the next day. I'm going to get this coated in some honey there. Nice and sticky. Yeah. So the important thing is getting the oil at the right temperature, which I think we've got now. So these are coming out lovely and round and quite donut-like as well, as Gaz was saying before. The kitchen smells amazing, like one of those donut stands you get at the fun fair or whatever. Or, as any northern listeners might remember from Darlington Town Centre, waiting for the bus to Richmond, there used to be a donut stand right opposite the bus stop, which sort of coming out of college on a winter's evening was very tempting to go and get your 4 donuts for £1. Just a little nostalgic there. Okay, I think these are...
They're looking really good.
So I've made a terrible mess in the kitchen. I do apologise to...
Fortunately, we do not live in the studio, so of course we will be leaving everything for them to clear up.
Well, yeah, maybe, if we don't get too drunk. Have we got a volunteer to try honey cake?
So we have...
It smells really good.
Yeah.
Adam, our man at the mixing desk. I'd go for the little one.
I might actually have some more napkins somewhere.
I suggest you didn't go for more after that.
They are sticky and they are quite messy, so.
I mean, I'm out with a load of this.
Yeah. Have you got something? Excellent. And I'm just going to leave that oil on the side there for now. We'll clear it up.
We have a testy about to try one. And how is that, Adam? Excusing the crumping?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. It's a little honey cake.
So these cakes were traditionally left out on Bantine to appease the fairies. They'd be left at the bottom of the garden in every Irish back garden that you care to see, all reputable Irish back gardens on this sort of weekend for May Day. To appease the fairies that lived at the bottom of the garden. It has a lot of history to it.
So a bit like leaving the carrot out for Santa Claus and his donkeys, but this is
Santa Claus and donkeys.
Oh, sorry, reindeer. Yeah.
Maybe that's how they roll in.
I'm trying to do too many things at once here. So I was tapping it on the wrong.
And so, feedback from the studio. George, you're scolding yourself on them.
I can't vouch for the flagginess of them, to be honest.
Burning my fingers as well as my face.
Flagginess, yeah.
Burning fingers. Yeah. I want to know that it scalded the top of your mouth.
That flaggy's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wicked.
Big up from Pilo.
Move back to the sofa.
So, yeah, it's like super heat on your head.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Your culinary skills always amaze. And so now on to the poetry section. If you've got Ellen's, absent presenter, currently rocking it in the Arab Emirates. Ellen submitted a poem for the poetry challenge, and we're about to hear it once Sarah's got her shit together, as it were.
Sticky honey everywhere.
Oh, wait, so, we have it in two ways. Actually, Paul, would you like to read it?
Do you want to read it out, Paul? I've got it written down. I copied it off the text message sent all the way from Dubai earlier.
So we've got a friend of the show, Paul Lopez, Ellen's fiancé, in the place to read out a poem written by Ellen. Paul, in your best...
am I starting this off?
Yes, you are.
Really?
Yeah. So, just a bit of introduction. Our presenter's challenge this month, in honour of the royal wedding, which, unless you've been living in a cave for the last 2 months, I'm sure you've heard more than enough about. But in the typical ILFM irreverent style, we thought we'd do our own little tribute to it. So I asked the presenters, as their challenge this month, to write a poem as an ode to the celebration. So kicking off with Ellen Morgan's contribution, Paul's going to read out a poem that she sent through based on, it's an 18th century pastiche.
I should point out first, perhaps, I don't think I've read poetry since being at school, perhaps. So, we'll see how this goes. Kings set by God to rule over men, build Babylon, build Jerusalem, then set to fortify their power, hang portraits from each vaulted tower. Fair city street bedecked with flags in testament to ancient ways. In England's flags tomorrow sag, while desert kingdoms in their stays look on and yet make merry still. Kings set by God to rule over men, build Babylon, build Jerusalem.
Thank you, Ellen. Okay. And thanks, Paul, for reading that out.
Well, thank you. I hope that was as vaguely as intended.
So, unless someone else wants to go first.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll go.
Yeah, Gaz, you and...
So, to be lied to destroyed me. To be lied to. To be lied to made me question my worth. To be lied to made me change my perception. To be lied to made me ask why I wasn't good enough for the truth.
Very nice. I like that. I'm kind of on the dark side there. Excellent. George, I can see your hand jumping up there.
Yep. It's a short one. The royal wedding
It's doing my fucking head in.
Excellent.
Well said. To the point. Hit the nail on the head there. And I think rounding up, unless anyone else got anything to add, I've got something that I wrote very quickly. I wasn't really well. I was supposed to be in the presenters challenge, but then it was sort of drawn to my attention before that I am presenter, so I should be challenged. Okay. Roll up, roll up. The circus is in town. See the girl next door betrothed to the crown. In Scotland's glens is where they first met, an ordinary student and king of the polo set. At first he found her a little coarse, but it's hard to be picky when you look like a horse. He promised her roses, sapphires and rubies, pearls and gold and 1,000 howling corgis. Something borrowed, something blue, let's hope the heir don't have ginger hair. Something old, something new, the queen will be there, the paparazzi too. Roll up, the circus is in town. See the girl next door, betrothed to the crown.
Woo!
Okay, so yeah, wow. Good luck tomorrow, guys.
The royal wedding anyway. As I mentioned to Adam earlier today, I'll be watching it keenly tomorrow through the scope of my sniper rifle.
I have to admit, I'm quite interested to see her dress just because I'm interested in fashion, style, and everything. But I'm not going to be running out of bed too early to go and find somewhere that's got a TV to watch it. Has anyone been into town since it's all kicked off this week? I mean, people are camping out since Monday. It's just insane.
I work in town, so but fortunately I work at the commercial end of it in Oxford Street, so I've managed to avoid the Cliff Richard fans, royalists, who seem to have all turned up there en masse. A lot of North Americans showing up on the BBC News that I saw as well, because unfortunately, as I've been pulled up on actually this evening, it's the British way to diss all this stuff, to really, really sort of go in there with knives sharpened and stuff. Because it isn't special for us. We're doing it for them. For the world. Because I think they've got the keener audience.
Yeah.
Another bank holiday, which I'll have to work on.
Yeah, I mean, thank you very much, Will, for the bank holiday and stuff. But
you may get the bank holiday.
I think that's really what we're celebrating here. Well said. So I think really that rounds things up for the night until next month. Maybe we should just mention anything coming up in the next month.
Check out. It's going to be Cannes, I believe, but the Tree of Life film. You have to check it out. You really have to if you want to see. He's getting on actually, Terrence Malick, and he has got another one coming out soon, but. He's not going to be around forever, and this is him at his peak. Tree of Life. And self, Sarah?
Again, I'd say try and catch the Bridget Riley stuff at the National Gallery before the 22nd of May. And if you're around that part of town, and it's quite a nice walk up to Serpentine, again, the Nancy Sparrow thing. Other than that, I haven't really got anything burning in my diary. I'm kind of gonna play it by ear this month.
Throw it out to George. Anything other than Diggers and stuff? Anything arts related?
Almost arts related, but it's more of a word rhyming thing. I'm looking forward to the royal divorce. I expect we will be seeing one at some point in the future.
Well, next month's show anyway. So again, it'll be the last Thursday of the month. I'm actually producing next month's show, and it's going to have a film bent to it. If you hadn't guessed, I do like film. Music will hopefully be coming from Robots in Disguise. We may, if we're very, very
is
lucky.
Is it Robots in Disguise or is it a solo from Sue?
I think, actually, you got me there. It is a solo possibly from Sue Denham, who is absolutely amazing and stuff.
Yeah, not to be missed, that one next month.
And also, hopefully, we might get a rare recorded acoustic set for the show from the band called Sweet Billy Pilgrim. Mercury Music Prize nominated heroes of mine that are absolutely adorable to listen to. But yeah, if that's it, is anybody else got anything to add?
Anyone else, Adam, got anything?
Any recommendations from the studio?
Grinding. Anyone wants to do some grinding, just go see Adam and he'll sort you out.
Grinding, if you're into a sort of a situational based painting project where you're painting in a single coat or a single colour onto the hull of a boat. If this rocks your world and you want to express yourself in a single colour on the
there's no painting involved.
Oh, there's no painting involved yet, but just grinding. So if you want to do reverse painting, so you want to actually remove paint from the hull of a boat, it's like it's going back in time.
It's therapeutic.
Then, if you can bring your own grinder and a petrol generator, then it would be obviously much more appreciated than just turning up without tools. But there is sandpaper on hand, should you just turn
and
up on the day.
Toothbrushes, if you
to be found,
have some punishment.
To be found anywhere between the River Lee and the Regent's Canal in Hackney. Cool. Thank you very much, people.
Thanks for listening, and happy Beltane to everyone. Enjoy the summer sun. Don't be sitting and listening to our show all weekend, as I'm sure it's tempting enough. But yeah, from myself, Gaz, George, Paul and Adam, and our little studio crew this evening.
And
very
thank
good
you.
Night.
Also,
thank you again for
Adam and Rich doing the acoustic set. Not Adam, our resident guru.
Oh, no thanks to you.
But yeah, thank you very much, lads. If we can come up with a name for you, we will. Good night.